19:164. Let's read that one first. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Do we praise God seven times a day for his word? It's appropriate to. Amen. Tonight's message is all about God's word, Deuteronomy 29:29. And as we look at it and we're reminded about these great truths of God's word, don't be afraid to praise God for his word. Not only every day, but seven times a day. And it doesn't mean you need to count. We're not Muslims. We're not going to have set times with the clock and everything. But sometimes we forget to praise God for his word. You know, we praise him for who he is, what he's done, for our salvation. But do we praise him for his word? Because if we didn't have his word, where would we be? Think about it. We wouldn't have the gospel. We wouldn't know about Jesus Christ. We wouldn't know how to live for Jesus Christ after we become Christians. We would be in serious trouble. And God here is reminding Israel they're about to go into the promised land. And he's reminding them about the importance of his word in their lives. And notice what he says here in verse 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now the law is just being written while this is occurring. But look how already God is magnifying his word for his people. The Bible says, Psalm 138:2, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And tonight's just about the magnification of God's word, because we get to chapter 30 and God tells them about the blessings if they will repent, because he's warning them that they're going to go in and they're going to sin. And then we get to the end of the book where Joshua is appointed as the new leader. But right before all of that, this beautiful truth about God's word. So tonight's title will be The Secret Things. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would remember when we do praise you, that we would also remember to praise you for your word that you've preserved, that you've given to us in our own language, that we can hold in our hand, and Lord, that truly guides and empowers and changes us. So Lord, tonight may we just be reminded how important it is that we have it, that we love it, that we are in it, and how blessed we are to have been given it by you centuries ago. So use your word tonight to bless us about your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to point out six truths about God's word from this passage. The first one we see is there are some secret things. Amen. There are many things that we will just not know until we get to heaven. And that's okay. But we should always come to the word of God believing that we have more to learn. Amen. But also always having this attitude that we're just meager humans, and that until we get to heaven and have perfect knowledge, there will be some secret things. There will be some things that God has not revealed unto us about ourselves, about himself, about heaven. And they're just beyond our comprehension. Now go to Isaiah 55:8. This shouldn't surprise us, because God is beyond our comprehension, according to God himself. Isaiah 55:8. So why should we be surprised that there are some secret things that belong unto the Lord and only the Lord? Isaiah 55, look at verse 8. Most of us know this passage. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then a New Testament passage, Romans 11:33. Turn over there if you would. Romans 11:33. The Bible says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So look at that. His ways, many of God's ways are past finding out. We can study the Bible every day for our entire life. There's still many of his ways while we're in this earthly body that are past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? So the first thing we see is the Bible is exactly what God wanted us to have. Amen? And there are some things that are still secret that we won't understand until we get to heaven. And that's okay. But what it means is we've just got to keep digging until Jesus comes. Amen? Keep digging, searching, learning, growing. What's the second thing? He says, but those things which are revealed here in Deuteronomy. The second thing he teaches us about his word is there are many things in the scriptures that God reveals to his children and only his children. You've heard this said before, but the unsaved person, they can read the Bible, but they're not going to understand most of the Bible because they don't have the interpreter indwelling them like we do. We have the Holy Spirit. And one of his missions is to illuminate the word to us. Look at John chapter 16, verse 13, and we'll see this, where Jesus prophesies to his disciples that he will send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. John 16, verse 13. And one of the things he will do for us and through us is reveal things in his word. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He will show you things. Notice, so he's going to guide us into truth. He's going to show us things to come, and he's going to show us other things as well. And so the second great truth we find about God's word is Christians have a special opportunity that the world doesn't have to understand the word of God, because we have the Holy Spirit illuminating the word of God to us. 1 Corinthians 2:14, if you turn there, says that the unsaved cannot comprehend much of the word of God because they're unsaved, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, that's talking about an unsaved person, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. Remember, an unsaved person has a dead spirit. Well, if it's spiritually discerned, how are they going to discern anything in the Word of God if they don't have a spirit with life and if they don't have the Holy Spirit? And so the second beautiful truth he reveals to Israel and to us about his Word is not only are there some secret things that we won't know till we get to heaven, but there are many things which he is revealing to us through his Holy Spirit. This is a very important difference, by the way, between Bible-believing churches and what we'll call the denominational or the high churches, especially the Catholics and the cults, because all of them teach that it takes a priest, or it takes an intermediary, or it takes the organization like the Watchtower or the Mormon Church or whatever for you to fully understand what's in the Bible. But Bible-believing churches believe that, no, the preacher doesn't have a handle on the Bible. We all have the same Bible and the same Holy Spirit. And we can all learn the same things. Amen? That we don't have to rely on a priest or a church to tell us what the Bible says. We can go read it and study it for ourselves because we have the same Holy Spirit that all preachers have and so forth. But people grew up with that all through the Dark Ages. When the Catholic Church pretty much ruled Christianity, other than, you know, the remnant, it was, people always believed that, the church has to tell me what the Bible says, because I'm not allowed to study it for myself. And of course, there weren't copies of it for ages, so they had to go and listen to the priest, and usually it was in Latin, and a lot of them didn't speak Latin. They had to rely on the church to tell them what the Bible said. But that's not true for us as Christians. God reveals His Word to His children through His Holy Spirit. Number three, Deuteronomy 29, as we see that He said they belong unto us. God gave us His Word. Amen? This is how He chose, especially in the New Testament age, to communicate with His children. Now, in the Old Testament, He used prophets as well. And in the early days of the New Testament, He used His apostles. But that time is gone. Like we read in the Sunday school this morning, prophecies shall cease. And they did when this was finished. And God has chosen to give us this book called the Word of God. Amen? And it is exactly what He wants us to have. Now, John says, if you go to John 21, 25, that if God had chosen to, He could have made the Bible much larger. He could have made it 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times what it is. And so that should excite us to know that it's exactly what God chose for us. Amen? It belongs to us. God, in His infinite wisdom, said, this is how much man needs. He needs this. He needs these 31,000 verses. He needs these 66 books. God determined that. That should make us excited that this is exactly what God wanted me to have. Because John 21, 25, look what He said. There are also so many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Imagine if the Bible was that big. We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? If the Bible was so big that it couldn't even fit in the world, we'd be in trouble. But no, this is exactly what God wanted us to have, is what we hold in our hands tonight. Genesis to Revelation, 66 books, 39 and 27, 39 old, 27 new. God had it all planned out. Amen? This is exactly what He wants man to have. And we should be very thankful for that. So there's already three things. There are some secret things which we won't understand till we get to heaven. But God is willing and will reveal many things to us in Scripture as we rely on the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And it belongs to us. God didn't write the Bible for someone else. He wrote it for us. Amen? Mankind. And specifically, the New Testament He wrote for Christians. He didn't write the New Testament for the lost, did He? He wrote it for Christians. And that should excite us. What next? Deuteronomy 29 is, He says, and to our children. So he's talking a generational thing. And what He's saying is that we as God's children who have been given this precious thing, one of those, well, probably the most precious thing on earth besides our salvation would be the Word of God. We're to what? Pass it on. Amen? We're to pass it on to further generations. Now, God told Israel this in Deuteronomy 6, if you want to turn there. Deuteronomy 6, 6. That God did not give us the Bible to go and hide in our desk at home, did He? Yes, we're to study it. Yes, we're to read it. Yes, we're to meditate and memorize, but we're to pass it on. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Pass it on to our children and their children after them. And if you look at Philippians 2:14, you and I now have a responsibility in the New Testament as God's children to pass it on. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless and sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Look at verse 16. Holding forth the word of life. That's us. We're to pass it on. Amen. We're to hold forth. We're to take this and hold it forth to the world. Specifically the gospel. Until they find Christ. And then we can, as it says in Matthew 28, teach them all things. Not until they get saved. But we're to pass it on to our families and to our grandkids and our great-grandkids and just keep passing it on. That was God's plan. And it's worked now for a long time. So that's four things. There are some secret things we won't know till we get to heaven. Many things have been revealed to us and will be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God, but only to His children. He gave us His Word exactly what He wanted us to have, and we're to pass it on. Number five, Deuteronomy 29, just two words, which for us is one word in modern English, forever. In other words, the Bible is forever. What a blessing. There are many things that have come and gone in human history, but the Bible is forever. God promised us this. Look at Psalms 12, verse 6. That He would preserve His Word. And has the devil tried to destroy it? Has the devil tried to keep man from having it? Of course he has. But God promised that He would preserve it. Amen. Psalm 12, look at verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, from this generation forever. God promised to preserve His Word. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. My Word will last. That's something that's going to last forever. Look at Peter 1:25. And you know, that should excite us too, because the book that we have been given by God, the book that God promises to help us understand and teach us things out of, will always be. It's eternal. You can't say that about anything else on earth except people's souls. That's it. Everything else is going to burn up. The earth, the sky, God's going to burn it all up. But this book will last forever. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen? And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It'll endure forever. So there are some secret things. And there are many things He promises to reveal to us as we study it through the Holy Spirit. He gave us exactly what He wanted us to have. He promised He will preserve it, but we are to pass it on. But lastly, Deuteronomy 29:29. The primary reason He gave us the Bible, some would say, oh, to get saved. That's important, no question about it, and that's why Christ died. But when God wrote the Pentateuch, and as Israel was about to get into the Promised Land, which is where we are, what was the main point of the Word of God? But to give Israel commandments, guidelines. We get to the New Testament. What does Jesus say? If you love Me, keep My commandments. God gave us a book that shows us how to live. Every aspect of the Christian life is covered. Amen? How we speak, how we act, everything is covered. And as it says, that we may do. So it wasn't just a storybook. Amen? Just to tell us stories. And there are some amazing stories in the Old Testament. And it wasn't just a book to teach us who God is, which it does in an amazing way. But it's also a book that gives us commandments that we are to obey. For us as Christians, there's about 150 of them. It's our responsibility to know what they are and to obey them, that we might do the words of this law. Why did he call that law so many times? Well, what's the purpose of the law? What does the law do? It tells us right and wrong, right? Don't break the law. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith grows as we hear and obey the word of God. This Bible was given to show us how to live. If we will but read it, study it, memorize it, meditate in it, it'll show us exactly what we need. But then when it does, we have a responsibility to obey. Amen? John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Look at 1 John 5:3, if you would. So this is the final verse in Deuteronomy prior to God telling them what's going to happen when they go to the promised land if they will repent of their evil. And then the handing over of the baton to Joshua. And it's about the word of God. He says the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do. Amen? Just a two-letter word, that we may do all the words of this law. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. It means they're not heavy. They're not a burden. His commandments are a blessing. His commandments protect us and guide us. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. This book was given to show us how to live, to grow us. Look at 1 Peter 2:2 quickly. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, this doesn't mean it's written to baby Christian. It says, as a newborn babe desires milk. So as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may what? Grow. Amen? That you may grow in your Christian life. So don't be afraid 1 to 7 times a day. Amen. To praise God for his word. Don't forget where we would be or wouldn't be if we didn't have it. This book is amazing. It's powerful. It's beautiful. It changes lives. It's changed all of our lives. It has so much power, we won't even understand till we get to heaven. Amen? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce to the dividing of soul and spirit. It can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Nothing else on earth can do those things, but this book can. And we should be praising God for it. That's our theme this year, is to praise God. Let's praise him for his word. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments, David said. The secret things belong to God, but God will reveal much to us. He gave us exactly what he wanted us to have in his word. We're to pass it on. He's promised to preserve it. And we have a responsibility to obey it. And that's the best way to grow, is when the Holy Spirit points something out, obey. Just obey the secret things. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you again for this amazing book you've given us. Lord, it's so inexhaustible that we can just study it and study it and study it and just keep learning and growing. Thank you so much for this. And I pray, Lord, that we would honor it by how we treat it, that we would read it, Lord, that we would study it, that we would meditate in it every day, and Lord, we would memorize it, and we would share it. But most of all, we would obey it. So thank you for your word. We love you.